John chapter 19, beginning at verse 35. The man who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you also may believe. These things happened so that the scripture would be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And, as another scripture says, they will look on the one they have pierced. Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, because he feared the Jews. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it, with the spices, in strips of linen. This was in accordance with Jewish burial customs. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. Because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there.
Well, good morning. Nice to see you all here. I'm just going to move this. It's going to be... Ooh, it's a great start. I'm going to move this as it's going to be my way. Right, I'm going to need two volunteers, one adult as well, preferably a male. Young man, if you come out, yes. An adult, who am I going to pick? Fred, come on. Right, if you just wait there. Fred, if you can just go in there. Yeah, get in there. Come on. See you later. Right, and if you just turn around, face front. That's it. I'm just going to put this over your eyes. Is that okay? I'm going to do it tight, I promise. Now, can you stand there? Fred, are you all right? Good. Can you see anything? Is it... yeah, good. Can you see anything? Is it dark? Great. Well, you just stand there. Fred, you stay there. As long as you can hear me, that's fine. And you're still hearing me preach, that's brilliant. Can I just add my welcome? My name's Tim. I'm the apprentice here, and I work alongside John. And I run the youth work with my wife, Lizzie, and I do the music here as well. But I'm going to start today with a story, okay? Don't judge it, because it's one I've written myself. You all right there? Is it still dark? Brilliant. So, imagine you are on a walk in the woodlands, okay? You think it's a beautiful sunny day like today. No, don't you walk anywhere. I don't want you to get hurt. You stay still, okay? Now, Fred, can you still hear me? Yeah, Fred's all right. So it's a beautiful day. You start it out. It's a lovely day. And before you go, a friend of yours goes, now just beware, okay? Just beware, because actually where you're going is a really dark, gloomy, enchanted, horrible woodland. And there's big, big caves, and there's holes in the ground. And you just want to be careful. He says, just whatever you do, just don't go into the enchanted woodland. And you're like, yeah, whatever. So there you go, you're having a lovely walk, you're walking through the woodland, it's a beautiful sunshiny day, the trees are blowing in the wind, it's lovely, your pet dog's at the side, it's yapping at your feet, get rid of that. And you see this sign, there's a fork in the road, and you see this sign, and the sign says, beware. Big, you know, those big yellow signs, it says, beware. Enchanted, dangerous, dark, gloomy woodland, do not enter, risk of death. And you're like, yeah, you know what? I'll be all right. I'll be fine. I'll be absolutely fine. So off you go. You're walking away. You're walking along your woodlands. Bang! There you go. Ground's given away. You fall into this big, deep, dark cavern. Fred, are you all right? Good. Big, big, deep, dark cavern, okay? You can't see anything. There's no light. Absolutely nothing. Pitch black. All you've got on you... it's your phone, because you got rid of your dog, so your dog can't go and give you the message. So you've got your phone, you've got enough power to send one text message, and you've only got enough credit to send one text message anyway, so you're pretty stuffed, aren't you? So you send this one text message. So who do you send it to? So you think about it, you're worrying. I know, I'll send it to that friend of mine who said, don't go there because it's dangerous. I've been there. Don't do it. So you send it to him, and you're there for 2-3 hours, screaming, shouting, help, help, get me out of here. Great. Nothing, absolutely nothing. And you're getting to the point, it says, well, I can't see my watch. I haven't got a light on my watch. I don't know what time it is. My battery's died. I can't call anyone. And then all of a sudden, this rope just drops out of nowhere. Just lands right by your feet. And you're like, what's that? And then out of the darkness comes this light. This light comes down on this rope. And who's it? It's your best mate who said to you, you know, don't go there. And you've been thinking, and while you've been waiting for your friend to come down, you hear this dark, deep, dark voice in the cave, and it says, someone's got to pay the price. And you're like, oh, whatever, whatever. And then you hear it again. It says, someone's got to pay the price. And you're like, I don't care. My mate's coming down to rescue me. Hurrah! I'm going to get out of here in one piece. So your mate gets down, gets on, says, you all right? You say, oh, great, mate. Oh, so glad you got a text message. Says, yeah, I did warn you. And he goes, right, here's my harness, here's my helmet, gets the helmet on, he's got the light in his helmet, clips onto the rope, and he just starts lifting up. Someone's putting him out. He doesn't even have to climb. Someone's putting him out. And then you realize that your mate's not coming with you. You realize that your friend is actually stuck in the deep depths of the darkness of the cave. And he shouts to him, wait, what are you doing? You've got to come up with me. He's like, someone's got to pay the price. You're going, what do you mean? You've got to come, you can't stay. It's like, someone has got to pay the price. And you get to the top of the cave, having been pulled out, and the ground closes beneath you. So, I'm going to take this off you. Was that dark? Is it good to see the light? Fred, you can come out now. Fred? Is it nice to be in the light? Is it nice to be back in the light? Thank you very much. Just give these guys a round of applause. Go and have a seat. So just for those of you that, Fred, if you didn't hear that story, I hope you did hear the story. You did. Superb. Just keep that story in the back of your mind as we go through and we look through the scriptures together. So just to kind of put things into a little bit of a setting. So today is Palm Sunday. If we didn't realise, today is Palm Sunday. And Palm Sunday... is actually a very significant day. And the crowds in Jerusalem, when Jesus was walking into Jerusalem on the donkey, which was prophesied back in the Old Testament, they're shouting, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. And what did they do? They laid palms, didn't they? They laid palms on the road as he came into Jerusalem. They laid palms. And actually, laying palms on the ground was a sign of somebody being important, someone that had kingship, who was a lord. But you see, the crowds didn't really get it. Yes, they understood that Jesus was important, but they didn't get the fact that Jesus was just no ordinary person. He was no jack of all the trades. He was not Jack the Lad that just wandered into Jerusalem, was he? All right, mate, I'm on my donkey. It's not that, is he? He's the King. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. And here's the thing. He's the light of the world, as we saw back in chapter 3. And here's the thing. The light of the world had to suffer the darkness. And last week we heard from Ian about Jesus' death and he being pierced on the cross. We saw that Jesus had to die. We saw that Jesus was a fulfillment of Scripture. We saw that it was finished. And also, we read that it's a true account. It was written. John wrote that account so that we might believe and that we might see that what we read from the Bible and what we look at the Bible today is true. But as I said, I want to look at something slightly different to what Ian looked at last week. And in particular, I want to look at how and why Jesus died and had to suffer the darkness of the grave. Now, Fred and our young man who was at the front here, it was dark, yes? And it's not nice to be in the dark, is it? But actually, John uses light and dark the whole way through his gospel, and it's an amazing thing. And in John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus states, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Now, you see, Jesus, as I said, is the King of Light. He's the one that brings us out of the darkness. So it was me that brought Fred out of the cupboard. It was me that took off the scarf of the young guy's head. But actually, that's nothing in comparison. He is the light in the darkness. And again, in John's gospel, it says in chapter 1, right at the beginning of the gospel, "In him was life. And that life was the light of men." The light shines, okay? The light shines in the darkness. But the darkness has not understood it. That's us. We don't get it, you see? We don't get it. Do we? Does anybody really get it? We are the darkness. And Jesus came in as the light to shine in the darkness. And that verse is so clear, and it tells us that we just didn't get it. You see, Jesus just didn't come into the darkness to be a light in the world. But he went one step further, didn't he? He just didn't come into the world where it was all dark and dingy and we were all sinners and we got it all wrong. He took it one step further. He went to the very depths of darkness in the grave and on the cross. He had to suffer and endure that pain. He had to suffer the world's sins, the separation from his Father. And that was the ultimate love, giving his life, suffering the depths of darkness, so that we might have a chance. You see, without it, okay, me, Poppy, Lizzie, Bob, we don't stand a chance. We don't stand a chance without the light of Christ. We don't stand a chance without Jesus and his suffering on the cross. He gave his life. Why? So that we might have a relationship with the Father. So that we might be forgiven for our sins. We have a fish tank. I would still need to prove some of that, though, wouldn't I? So what would I need? So I'd probably use my passport to prove who I am, where I was born, wouldn't I? Okay. I'd probably use my driver's license to prove where I live. I'd need a marriage certificate to prove that I'm married to Lizzie. And I'd probably need my birth certificate to actually prove I was born, but actually that I'm standing here, living, breathing, speaking to you probably proves that itself. But actually, I still need those things to prove some of those statements I've made. But actually, it still takes something for us to believe that, doesn't it? But what does it take for Jesus to do for us to believe? I mean, he's got an overwhelming amount of proof. We saw Nicodemus in our first reading this morning. And now he is an interesting character. He pops up 3 or 4 times in John's Gospel. Okay, he doesn't believe in Jesus, so he isn't a follower. But it's amazing how it finally turns out. So you see, Nicodemus was a man of Pharisee. So he was a for those of you who don't understand what Pharisee is, so he was in the law courts. He was a guy of the scriptures. So he knew the scriptures really, really well. And his first encounter with Jesus was in the dead of night. So he snuck out. He snuck out to ask Jesus some questions, okay, in the dead of night. So remember, our light, dark. And actually, that was quite a risky thing for Nicodemus to do, to even approach Jesus and ask him questions. And that could have cost him his job in the Pharisee. It could have cost his reputation. And he just does it. And he pops up again here in 19:39, in our last reading. And you would have thought Nicodemus would have understood what's going on. You would have thought Nicodemus would have believed. I mean, he's seen the miracles. He's heard of the miracles. He's heard of the wonders that Jesus has done. He knows the Old Testament scriptures really, really well, inside out. He's a Pharisee. He should do. That's his job. And he even says it. He says, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God." He knows it. He knows Jesus is important. He knows, he understands that Jesus has been sent by God, but he just still doesn't get it, does he? But why doesn't he believe? Why? And as I said, you would have thought Jesus, with all the things that he's done, would have ever got Nicodemus on side just like that. And actually, if you think about it really, while Jesus was on earth, his ministry, well, it was a failure, really. Maybe, you know, he had his 12, but there were periods the whole way through the 12 didn't believe. They weren't sure. They didn't get it. They didn't understand. Just like I don't understand stuff about knee surgery and Fred, what he does. I don't understand about teaching drama. I don't understand about what Ian does with his job. I know how to cut down trees. That's what I do. That's what I know best. And actually, I know best music. And those are things I know, but boy, oh boy, does it take some working out to understand how to do it properly. But why doesn't Nicodemus understand? So what does it take? What does it take for Nicodemus to get it? Well, I'll tell you. It's Jesus' death. It's Jesus, the Son of God, hanging on the cross, being pierced for our transgressions, shedding his blood, taking the torment, bearing the sins of the world on his shoulders. That's what it takes. You know, Nicodemus has been standing in the darkness for so long. But he just doesn't get it. He doesn't get that he needs to come to the glorious light of Christ. He just doesn't get it. But it's the cross that makes him believe. It's his death. And here's where it comes clear. So in 1939, it says this. It says it very clearly. Joseph of Arimathea, who still doesn't believe because he's still hiding. He doesn't get it. But here, check out Nicodemus. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier visited, now here it is, earlier visited Jesus at night. At night, in the darkness, afraid to step out. But actually, what's he just done? Nicodemus has just stepped from darkness, and he's come out of those shadows and the depths of darkness into the light. He openly believes in Jesus. He gets it. He understands. He gets it now. You see, Jesus has died on the cross. He has suffered the pains of the world. And it takes his death for Nicodemus to step into the light. And you know what? Somebody else gets it. It's not in John's gospel, but it's at the cross, scene of the cross. And that's the centurion as well in Matthew. You know, the centurion has seen the whole day through. The centurion has seen from Jesus being flogged, beaten, abused, spat on, tormented, hung on the cross, teased. He's seen his clothes get sent out and lotted for by the other guys. You know, his underwear. Just degrading. And he stood there and he supported it. And then he dies. Jesus dies on the cross. And this is what the centurion says. Surely, surely he was the Son of God. You see, he gets it. He gets it. But what does it take? It takes Jesus dying. It takes Jesus' death so that we might believe, so that we can step into the light. Now, I may be overstepping the mark, but I'm going to say it anyway. I wonder how many of us here are closet Christians. I wonder how many of us here say we're believers at the church, and you may well believe it. You do get it. You understand it, and you believe what's going on. But we don't share it with our colleagues. We don't share it with our friends. We don't share it with our family or our schoolmates, our friends at school. Is our faith really open? Are we proud to be counted and stand up for Jesus? And you know, it's not an easy thing to do. Boy, oh boy, it's not an easy thing to do. I learned the hard way. 6 months before I met Lizzie, my life fell apart. Absolutely fell apart. But the reason it fell apart is because I started coming back to church. The reason my life fell apart was because I started believing in Jesus. And the person I was with didn't like that. The person that I was with just did not like that. And I lost everything. But actually, I gained the world. I gained an amazing wife. I have amazing parents. I have a faith that is strong in Christ. And boy, I get it wrong. Day after day after day, I get it wrong. I make mistakes. I stuff up. I am no clean character by any means. But actually, no one said it was going to be easy. It's not an easy thing to do. It's not an easy thing to do for you younger guys, for you teenagers, for you guys that are 10, 8, 9, 10, 11. Yeah, you might get teased at school. You might get bullied. You might get pushed around in the playground. But actually, who cares? It's going to hurt. But actually, standing up for Jesus, standing up and being open in our faith, is far, far more rewarding. And we as humans tend to look on the dark side of life, don't we? We tend to see all the bad things that have happened. We tend to look at, oh, this guy's been picking on me. Oh, no, I've ripped my car off. I've done that 3 times. You know, just we tend to focus on the stuff that just does not go right. But boy, oh boy, what a promise we have of going to eternity with our Saviour. For standing up and being counted. And he promises us, he says to us, that the Holy Spirit will be with us in our time of need. And that's not to say, right, okay, Holy Spirit's on my side. All right, I can do whatever I like. I can get out of any situation. No. We need to be open. We need to be like Nicodemus. You know, the guy was a Pharisee. He was a respected member of the community. And you know, him standing up for Christ, he would have been shunned by his peers. He would have been persecuted. His life would have been a misery, but you know what? He did it. He stood up. He came out of the darkness and into the light. And I want to challenge you today and say that a true faith in Jesus shows itself by openly following him. And the rewards far, far outweigh the things that could go wrong. So if we're not believers here today, if we don't follow in Christ, take this away with you, okay? Look at Jesus' death. Consider these things. Look at Jesus' death. It was real. It was recorded. Look at the cross. Look at what happened. Look at the true depths of darkness Jesus had to suffer. He went through for us. He endured it for us. Look how the light shone on Nicodemus when he stepped out to be counted. You remember our video that we looked at? The guy was in depths of darkness, wasn't he, the whole way through, and he came before the cross. He fell before the cross. Bang! Light. And that light spreads, and it's infectious. Boy, oh boy, is it infectious. But consider those things. But if we are believers here today, let me say this. Look back at the story at the very beginning. When Fred was in the cupboard, we had our young man here with the blindfold on, couldn't see anything, darkness. And remember our story, the person trapped in that cave and the friend coming down into the darkness. That light, that beam of light, lifting you up, taking you out. And he took your place. It's the same with Jesus' death. He took our place. That should have been us. Look to the cross. I mean, the cross is the center of what we believe. come back to the cross. Look at the cross. See what happened on the cross. I can't imagine the pain that was suffered there. I don't think any of us could. But he did it so that we might have a relationship with God, so that we would be forgiven and saved. Remember Nicodemus. Remember what he risked to stand up for Christ. So go away today. Stand for Jesus in whatever you do. Wherever you go, follow him with a joyful heart, passionately, openly, because you are promised a place in eternity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you sent your Son into the deep depths of darkness. Thank you that he is the light of the world and that he shines into all of our lives. We just ask that we would see that and come back to the cross daily. Amen.